The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ormudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, it is a debilitating mental disorder that follows experiencing or witnessing an extremely traumatic, tragic, or terrifying event. PTSD, once referred to as shell shock or battle fatigue, was first brought to public attention by war veterans, but it can result from any number of traumatic incidents. These include kidnapping, serious accidents such as car or train wrecks, natural disasters such as floods or earthquake, violent attacks such as a mugging, rape or torture, or being held captive. We will discuss this condition on today's Health Chat and see how an organization is addressing it. Joining us via phone from Romney, West Virginia, is David Shapiro, president of African PTSD Relief Now, an organization that aims to reduce the pandemic of post-traumatic stress disorder throughout Africa. Mr. Shapiro, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you join us today. And also joining us is Dr. Brian Reese, retired colonel from the U.S. Army Reserve, who has researched and written about the application of transcendental meditation technique for the promotion of soldier resilience, resolution of PTSD, and the reduction of violent conflict. Dr. Reese, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
And finally, joining us via phone from Kampala, Uganda, is Esperance Ndosi, a Congolese refugee who settled in Uganda after experiencing violence and trauma. Ms. Ndosi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And let me remind our listeners that if you would like to join the conversation, you can call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can also email us your thoughts or questions at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat. And we'll start discussing PTSD in a moment, but first, Voice of America's reporter Jessica Berman reports on a study to address mental illness in underdeveloped countries.
Researchers found the most successful way to treat people with mental illness in resource-poor countries is for the care to come to them. In the first rigorous trial of community-based care for the mentally ill, researchers looked at the benefits of home visits at three sites in India, comparing the outcomes to those who received their care exclusively from mental health clinics. The study involves schizophrenic patients ages 16 to 60. A professor of community psychiatry at the Institute of Psychiatry at King's College London, Graham Thornycroft, led the study.
So what we wanted to do in this study is to find out, can we develop a relatively simple and affordable type of treatment that will increase the number of people who get treatment and increase the quality of care?
Thornycroft says trained healthcare workers visited the homes of 187 schizophrenic patients, making sure they took their antipsychotic medicine regularly and educating family members on how to care for loved ones with mental illness. The patients also visited mental health clinics for professional care. Their progress was compared to that of 95 patients who received their care exclusively at mental health facilities. A year later, Thornycroft says, researchers noted a significant improvement among patients who'd been visited regularly by healthcare workers.
For example, voices or delusions were less in the community treatment option. Secondly, the levels of disability were lower when people had community care as well as the medical treatment. And third, people were more often likely to take their medication if they had the close support of coming to visit their homes rather than getting no follow-up between the doctor's visits.
In a study published in the journal The Lancet, researchers noted community intervention was more expensive than clinical care alone. But Thornycroft says this has to be weighed against the enormous social costs of not treating individuals with schizophrenia and other debilitating mental conditions. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
Let me thank all of you once again for joining us today. And Dr. Riz, I would like to start with you. The report talks about addressing mental illness in underdeveloped countries, and the reporter focuses on schizophrenia. But in a general sense, when we look at mental disorder versus mental illness, first of all, can you tell us the difference? Is it the same thing when we talk about mental disorder and mental illness?
Well, there's probably some overlap between those two terms, but in either case, the problems are widespread.
Mm-hmm.
Post-traumatic stress probably affects some 100 million people, certainly tens of millions of people in Africa. And I think the approach that was just specified, having these workers going out into the villages and meeting with people, that's commendable. In an environment where resources are limited,
uh-huh.
There's some value also to, I think, this approach through TM, where you have people who are able to learn the technique, and then they basically are autonomous. They can practice it on their own with a minimum of follow-up to make sure that they're practicing correctly.
Okay. And you mentioned TM, which is Transcendental Meditation. And this is definitely something that we will talk about further on the program today, which leads me to you, Mr. Shapiro. Your organization, Africa PTSD Relief Now, is actually dedicated to address the issue of PTSD through the meditation technique. First of all, can you tell us about what you do? The report talk about the care to come to the people in underdeveloped countries, and perhaps that's what you do, go to people in African countries and provide them with this service.
Yes, what we do is we've located large groups that have this problem. We find that if we teach in a school or a refugee camp or a business or whatever, where there's a large group, it gives the people an option of either meditating at home or meditating in the group. And the advantage of meditating regularly in a group to reduce PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is that they have a routine where they can easily do something with other people. It's not social. Meditation is not social. However, if one meditates in a group, then it makes it easier to do this.
Okay. All right.
So it's something that that's really in their own environment where they're comfortable.
Okay. So then, Dr. Riz, what exactly is transcendental meditation? I know that you and Mr. Shapiro mentioned meditation, but what is it, a specific type of meditation? What does it entail? Could you enlighten us?
Yes, it is. It's a specific form of meditation that was brought to the West and popularized in the late 1950s and 60s by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. It's a strictly mental technique. It's practiced for about 20 minutes twice a day on a regular basis. It doesn't involve any religion or philosophy or belief system. It's just a very mechanical thing that one does. It involves the use of a mantra, which is thought silently and allows the mind to settle down and experience that very quiet aspect, which is a deep aspect of everyone's mind.
Uh-huh.
So particularly with regard to post-traumatic stress, where we have people who are have been very distressed, have intrusive thoughts, have disturbed sleep, have all of these issues that are interrupting and adversely affecting their daily life, having this experience where they can, on a twice-a-day regular basis, have some very silent, settled experience. Studies have shown that it tends to ameliorate their symptoms.
Okay. Now, Esperance, let me come to you. You actually have experienced trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, and you had undergone the transcendental meditation techniques to help you. Before we talk about how it has changed your life for the better, if I understand correctly, can you give us a sense of what you've been through? Not to relieve the trauma, not to go back to this very difficult experience, but if you could just give us some sense of what it is that you went through that affected you and left you with some scars. Esperance, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Thank you for your question.
Yes, go ahead.
What I went through? I went through a lot of pain, endless sleep. I don't get sleep.
Okay.
Nightmares. I try to talk for because I'm a refugee living in Uganda. And the counselors, they try to counsel me, but still it could not help me out. So when the transition meditation, they called us to come and teach us this technique. We came, but I didn't know myself that I'd come to gain back my being. What I mean by being my is the way I feel each and every day. My English is not good. Please, I apologize. So it gave me what I really have been before when I was a baby. When I'm having my parents, both my parents.
Okay.
And now I'm moving each and every day because of my daily practicing.
Okay.
And I have joy with my family. I know each and every day what I should do and what I should not do.
Okay.
And it is part of me. Forever. I know how I feel, and I don't need medicine. I need that for myself.
Okay.
Daily practicing twice a day, in the morning and in the evening.
All right. And let me say that we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us and given the traumatic experience you've been through. And it's really, really a sign of courage for you to be able to speak to us and share your story. Now, Mr. Shapiro, Esperance is a woman that your organization was able to work with. When we look at some of the experiences that she has lived, can you tell us in terms of where she was and what it took, the meditation, the time that it took for her to get to where she is now, where she's able to share her story? And I can still sense in her voice that the trauma was very, very deep. But she's able now to live a daily life and live happily with her family and share her story. So, Mr. Shapiro, what does it take for such a traumatic event in someone's life to be able to reverse or at least manage it through a TM?
What we found was absolutely amazing when we did our research study. We did research, and when we did that, we had a good group of Congolese refugees who had severe PTSD symptoms, and they all were similar to Esperance, so quite a group. And one group learned TM right away, and one group was waitlisted until the end of the study. And they all, we were absolutely astounded that within 30 days, almost everyone, 90% of the group, was essentially free of PTSD. We were completely dumbfounded. Esperance did it within actually a week of starting the Transcendental Meditation Technique. Esperance was happy. She was showing happiness and relief and inner freedom. Not that everything was gone, but she was just feeling much, much better, even in a week. And the group as a whole, within a month, were feeling a lot of relief. So the answer is it's surprisingly how quick this procedure works.
Yeah, it's very surprising, you know, because when we heard the report where, although the issue was not PTSD in the report, more of schizophrenia and other condition, but one of the approach is to give medication, treatment, drugs to people that have suffer some type of mental illness. Even in the case of PTSD, some people are on drugs, and Dr. Rees, please correct me if I'm wrong. So would you, Dr. Rees, please talk about the symptoms of this condition? I know we went over it somehow, but it is important to understand the symptoms, because one of the things that I may have understood is the fact that some people don't even know that they're going through PTSD. So how can we recognize the symptoms?
Well, if someone has been through a very traumatic experience, and then subsequent to that, there are a number of symptoms that tend to express themselves. Included among them are things like hypervigilance, where one is always scanning the environment for threats and seeing threats everywhere when a car backfires or someone steps out of a doorway or whatever the case may be. That's regarded as a threat. There's can be a failure to adapt to startling stimuli. People tend to avoid situations that remind them or are similar to the situation or the environment in which they were initially traumatized. There can be emotional numbing, where people distance themselves. They can't feel love or compassion for their family members or can't express that. They have intrusive thoughts where the memory of the previous traumatic experience just keeps, can't get that out of their mind. It just keeps intruding at all times, and that can disturb sleep. And some of the most bitter complaints come from disturbed sleep. In fact, I think on the website that David might mention for African PTSD Relief Now, I'm sure we have a link to Esperance, a little 3-minute video that your listeners might find interesting, because it just shows in a week's time her experience day and night after she learned TM. And one of the areas that she particularly noted benefit in was sleep. And then there are a number of secondary issues that tend to arise, such as self-medication and substance abuse. And then at least in the United States, among veterans, there are problems with barriers to treatment, reluctance to pursue treatment because of the stigma of seeking mental health services. Mm-hmm. One other side benefit of the practice or application of transcendental meditation is that it really can be employed outside the medical model. And one is not really getting treatment for a mental disorder. You're just practicing this meditation that any businessman or family person might learn. And that helps remove this issue of stigma and reluctance to pursue treatment.
Okay. We have a caller who's joining us. And caller, welcome to Health Chat. Do we have the caller there? Okay. We have a caller, if you can join us, and you can go ahead and ask your question, please. Okay, we might be having some technical difficulties. Are you there, caller? Okay, we have a question from Amina in Sierra Leone. She's asking, how can you help a friend of or loved one with PTSD through the meditation technique if one does not know how to practice it? And Dr. Rees or Mr. Shapiro, who would like to answer that?
I'll go ahead. The key element would be to find a TM teacher. The the meditative technique is always taught in person, in private, on a one-to-one basis. So it is necessary to find a TM teacher who has been through the TM teacher training program, which is at least 6 months in length in residence. So the TM teachers are very expert in teaching, but you need to find one. That can be done through TM.org, or if you, that's the website, or the, if you look in whatever resource, telephone books and so forth, looking up Transcendental Meditation, you should be able to locate a center somewhere.
Okay. Now, what if someone, if there's no, let me ask you this, Mr. Shapiro, how many countries have you been able to install or perhaps to train people for PTSD?
We've been working across the continent, and we have various size groups in Kenya, South Africa, Uganda, South Sudan, Senegal, all across the continent. And where they're TM teachers, we can coordinate with them and give them support and guidance for setting up this PTSD relief program.
Okay.
And where there are TM teachers, we can the local residents can be trained. So there are no real barriers. The main issue is that we need to locate where there's the problem. We'll go in and help, given the issues of funding.
Okay. Now we have a caller, Francesca. Is Francesca there? Go ahead with your question. Welcome to House Chat. We cannot hear. Is Francesca there? All right. I think we're having some technical difficulties with our telephone today. Let me come to you, Esperance. You have now started this the TM technique, which seems to be working for you. Is it something that you are sharing with your family? You say that you live with your family. I'm not sure if you have children, but how are you using this technique to have an impact with the rest of your family members? Esperance? Do we have Esperance?
Yes.
Okay. I think we're having a little problem with Esperance, who's joining us from Kampala. Is she there, Esperance? Okay. So,
yes.
Are you there, Esperance?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. I was wondering what the question was. Are you sharing the TM, the Transcendental Meditation Technique, with your family or friends, or is it something that you do by yourself?
Yes, I have a family of two boys, two girls, and I have two dependents, three dependents.
Okay, and do you meditate with your family, or do you do it by yourself?
Oh, they are all meditators.
Okay.
I took them to a teacher, and they were initiated.
Okay.
So we enjoyed it together as a family.
All right. Now, Dr. Reese, can Transcendental Meditation be self-taught? That's a question we received from one listener. I think perhaps Mr. Shapiro answered a little bit when he said you need to find a teacher. But is there a way that someone can go on the website? Are there some techniques that are there that someone can start learning on their own?
There is not. It is always, traditionally, it is taught from teacher to student on a one-to-one basis.
Okay.
The course is about 4 days long, an hour and a half or so each day, and the instructions are given based upon one's experience. So while it's easy and effortless to do and very charming and so forth, it does require personal instruction. It's kind of like teaching your kid how to ride a bicycle. There's nothing that can substitute for that experience of having someone run alongside you and make sure that you're doing it right, and then you can easily proceed from there. But trying to learn how to ride a bicycle from the internet or a book is difficult.
Okay. Now, when we know that several countries in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, have gone through wars, and the thing is, there is not a lot of emphasis that is put on the impact, mental impact of war, in countries that have gone through conflicts, at least not to the extent to which it should be, given my research. Mr. Shapiro, what have you found on the ground as you were conducting your studies, countries like Sierra Leone, Liberia, and the rest? What was your experience of that?
Well, we did testing in South Sudan, and we found as much as 80% of one military academy had PTSD.
Okay.
So it's very, very, of course, it varies from group to group. People have had different experiences, but it's a large problem. And we've done some testing, preliminary testing at one school. This is quite interesting. Even at a school in South Africa, and South Africa hasn't been at war, mm-hmm. we tested 30% of the incoming students. This is both paper tests and diagnosis by a trained psychologist. Mm-hmm. Had 30% at PTSD, and another 30% were at high risk of PTSD. So what it comes to, it's not just war, as you said, it's sexual abuse, it's violence, it's fear, and natural disasters that cause PTSD. So many, although a third of the countries in Africa have been at war, and they can have a very high level of constant tension, which, of course, can give rise to anger and additional violence. But many countries who haven't been at war have quiet issues of a great deal of sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in the South African school that we tested, 80% of the girls, these are college-age girls, reported quietly to the counselor that they had sexual abuse. So it's a massive problem, and it's something that can be dealt with very effortlessly through this approach. There are many other approaches. But another associated issue is that in many countries, for example, there is very few trained psychologists. So other approaches might be fine,
mm-hmm.
but if there are very few professionals to help, then this is something that can be done teaching a large group very easily, and the relief comes quite quickly, and it's quite quite inexpensive.
And making a good point, we have a question from Peter who is asking, what makes this approach unique to addressing this this problem of PTSD? Would you like to answer that? You probably did a little bit to some extent.
Yeah. So it's a very important question. The uniqueness is the speed at which with which it works, and the cost effectiveness that it can be done can be taught in a large group, and the person after they've learned the transcendental meditation technique. They have something they can practice at home on their own, or they can practice in the school regularly, and gradually reduce symptoms, gradually improve the quality of their life. So it's not expensive. So all those together make it very, very a very easy approach to use for a very large number of people who have this problem.
Now, Dr. Rees, let me ask you this: can this be used as the pre-step to perhaps a traumatic event, even though we don't plan traumatic events, we don't hope for them? But in the case of the military, for example, we know that they might go to war some days or before they go to war. Can this be used before to kind of help them in perhaps dealing with a possible PTSD?
Well, that's a brilliant question, and I think you touched upon something that's very important, and you're exactly right. In the United States Army, there's a recognition that we need to promote what's called comprehensive soldier fitness or resilience, which is just exactly that, the ability of soldiers who are not yet deployed but are about to go into a war zone to be able to successfully withstand the rigors and stresses of combat and being in a combat zone.
Okay.
Without getting PTSD. And so it has been implemented to some degree at the Norwich University, the oldest private military academy in the United States, and has found beneficial effects.
Dr. Reese, thank you so much. We have to leave it there. Thank you, Dr. Brian Reese, for joining us. Esperance, thank you so much for joining us from Uganda. And Mr. David Shapiro,
You're
we
welcome.
Appreciate your time. And that's your show for today. I'm your host, Lino Ahmudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.